Well, at the time, I have a friend called Michael, and Michael would always, in fact, I could call Michael and say, Michael, what was I wearing when I went to the dinner, you know? And he'd just tell me, he's got so much information on me, he knows every, you know, like, where I was, what I was doing, what I wore, and...
Very useful man.
He's a very sweet guy, and, what was I saying? How did I get into...
Pleasures of Paris.
Oh, the Pleasures of Paris, oh, yeah. So, I made all those appearances that, you know, when you look in the catalogue, can't you tell that...
It has a few pictures of you, but it doesn't exactly say what you were contributing.
Well, I know I did it with the Three Monarchs. I worked with them.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of sketches with Dickie Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had, you know, solo numbers where, you know, I had all the, the Las Vegas shows where they had a big spectacular, you know, all the, I don't know, just it was a big extravaganza show.
I just found the program, the Tivoli one, and it says you're in insufficient coverage.
What does that mean?
I think it was a sketch with Shirley Regan, Billy Baxter, and you were listed as the risk.
No, it was the same sketch that we did in London at the Prince of Wales, and they did it in Australia for the Tivoli.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I can't see much else. You're with the Dargie Quintet as the blonde.
Yeah, and that was a... Well, it was almost a replica of it. Was it the Dargie... No.
Dargie Quintet.
What was the quintet? What was the...
They were playing the Existentialists, I think.
Yeah, but what was the one in London?
I don't know.
Three guys, and there's a photograph of three chaps, and me, all in white.
Right.
In the pants. White slacks and, you know, sweater and that tiny belt.
You then went to Ascot in June 57 and made quite an appearance there.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people photographed. Quite a few photographs of you there.
Really?
And there was...
Nice photographs, weren't they?
There were some very nice ones. Mm. And there was a newsreel...
Really?
...of the royal party driving up, and you were in there with men in high hats, it says.
Mm.
So I've been trying to find a copy of that newsreel, but it's very hard to come by.
I don't know. I don't know how to get... I did, you know, when they did a tribute to, with Eamon Andrews, This Is Your Life.
Mm.
In for... ITV in London.
Right.
Back for that.
That's right, yes.
You know, how do you get the copies? I don't know how you do it.
Just a lot of searching, really.
Oh, my goodness.
Another maybe thing I don't know whether you want to talk about. 16th of July, 1957. It's false, says Sabrina. You sat in your dressing room at a West End London theatre, which is probably Pleasures of Paris,
yeah,
and radiated hate waves towards an unknown person who linked my name with John Kennedy. And John Kennedy was Tommy Steele's manager, not the United States president.
No, because I did know John, the president.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You didn't mention him.
Oh, yeah.
And you, according to rumour... gave him your heart.
Oh, God.
But your famous statistics, loosely clad in a scarlet negligee, you said, my heart's my own, thank you very much. I've got lots of boyfriends and John Kennedy's one of them. He takes me out, but that doesn't mean I'm going to marry him.
Ah. That's more or less the truth.
It's very hard to say who makes these things up or who tells the truth. Then you...
I think that was a very good answer.
And you knew Billy Smart, and you appeared in his circus. I've got a picture of you with a chimpanzee at the piano. That was 19...
He was a dear friend of mine. Another one of who wanted to marry me.
There's a bit of scandal later on. I don't know whether you want to go into this. In 9th of April 1958, about Paul Carpenter. That rumour about the naughty business by Kim Parker.
I know. But, you know, I was told by the lawyer at the time that they can accuse the, like, Princess Margaret of the same facts, and there's nothing that, you know, anybody can do about it. Anybody can say anything. You have to go to court. And unfortunately, you know, she dropped the suit. I think they settled the divorce, but I would have loved to have gone to court, because on all the dates that she mentioned that I was supposed to be with Paul Carpenter, how I met them was, oh no, I did a movie, that car.
Yes.
And I was dating Steve at the time, and the four of us, you know, would go out to movies or to, for dinner or something. And I know the night Steve came back to America one time, they, you know, took me to the airport. Took Steve and I to the airport, and of course he was leaving for America. And they brought me home, and we went to their apartment, you know, and just, you know, had like a cup of tea or a drink or something, you know, it was an inn night. And, but what I was saying was the times that she said that I was with her husband, I was actually in other parts of the country doing personal appearances. So it would have been, it would have put all those rumors to rest, you know, if she had gone through with it. It was just a shame that she never did. She cancelled, and I was upset about that.
Apparently the judge forced her to return to her husband.
She did?
Apparently she was forced to resume conjugal relations.
Oh, my God.
Which sounds very 1950s, where a court can force a wife to go back.
I didn't know you could do that.
Neither did I. It was a bit of a worry, but apparently she was.
Forced to go back, wow. I know there was a couple of times when we had to make appearances together to promote that stupid movie.
You really didn't like that, did you?
I really hated it. I hated the way I looked.
And the dubbing of your voice.
Yes. Don't know why they did that.
I don't know either. Maybe you weren't Cockney enough. Maybe you're too Northern.
I didn't know I was supposed to be Cockney, to be honest with you.
Most of the others sounded Cockney, so maybe they expected you to be too.
But nobody told me I was supposed to do a Cockney accent.
I don't think they really cared too much about what you sounded like until maybe later.
No, you're right. I don't think they cared at later.
That's true.
I had to do a lot of travelling to kind of, and a lot of work on songs during the week, you know, rehearsing them, and then go out on, this is when I was in New York, and, you know, play nightclubs on the weekend to try out the material. I mean, I really worked hard to try to get where I, you know, I had the name, and, you know, if you don't give the audience, you know, the public something back for putting you there, you know, that's kind of very disappointing to them, isn't it?
It is.
So, you know, I tried the best I could to learn.
It was interesting you mentioned earlier that you don't sleep much nowadays. And there's an article from September 1958 that says, "It seems that the things that sound good in a dream are gibberish in the mind, and our research about sleep took our photographer into one of London's most fabulous bedrooms, Sabrina's. The whole of one wall of Sabrina's bedroom is panelled in glass. I like a pretty
mirror.
Bedroom. Sorry?
Mirror.
I like a pretty bedroom, Sabrina said. I just can't sleep anyway, so I might as well have a lovely room to lie awake in. If you can find a cure for insomnia, let me know, Sabrina said. I sometimes lie awake at night. I design clothes in my mind. By the morning, I've designed a whole wardrobe." So you're still having trouble sleeping?
I've always been an insomniac.
Mm. You must have a busy mind.
Mm.
Now, we're getting up close to the time you arrived in Australia. We're looking at November 1958, and you went to Rome, and a whole lot of things were happening. You had your sculpture done by Asen Pykoff.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, in one of those, in that photograph with him, you know, Ursula Andress is in the picture. Was she the one who was the painter?
He was a sculptor, and there was a woman who painted you too at the same time.
Well, it wasn't a sculptor, it was a woman at first.
Ah, yes, she was.
There was about three, four girls in that picture.
Yes.
And I know one of them was Ursula Andress. And I always thought, is she a lesbian? Made me think at the time when I went there, I thought, what's going on here? Too many girls and no men.
Ah. Can you remember how long you were in Rome? Was it a couple of weeks?
Probably, yeah.
Because it seemed like you were doing a lot of things around that time.
Well, they had me doing something every day when I was in Rome.
And then you arrived in Australia.
Oh, but in the interim, I came to America, didn't I? I took off for America because you can go to Australia, you know, two ways, via California or via the, going to Rome and then onto Australia. That's the way my mother went.
Yes, I've got one thing. The picture of you and Asen Pykoff in Rome, the sculptor, that was dated 21st of November, 58. And then there's a photo of you on the 24th in Hollywood.
Yes, yeah.
With Steve. Right. And it says you're en route to Australia. And at that stage, you get lost. Well, your mother arrives and she can't find you. So did you travel separately?
Yeah, we traveled separately because I had to go to Rome ahead of time to do the publicity, and we were supposed to meet in Rome and then come on to Australia, but then when I got there, I had some friends who were going to California, and they persuaded me on a whim, probably after I had a glass of champagne too many, to go to California. So I did. And that's when they said I was lost. But it created a lot of publicity, didn't it?
It certainly did. I think your mum was glad to see you.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine her donning one of my gowns and standing in for me.
Well, you never know. She's not an unattractive woman.
My mother had a good figure.
Did she? Well, you must have got it from somewhere.
Yes, he did.